Yeah, I'm going to hit the size of the city right away because I didn't do that. I didn't do that on Friday, talking about the size of the New Jerusalem, and I didn't read the pertinent passage here in the unveiling, chapter 21, so I apologize to that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Martin Sunder. I'm your host here at the Revelation Series. We are on show 622, and it could be 666 shows in this series. We're coming to a close. We're getting there, aren't we? Yes, we're in chapter 21. We're getting to the end of chapter 21. There's only one more chapter. I'm still going to speak to you of the times and the seasons and the possibility of knowing the year of the inauguration of the kingdom. We're going to look into, again, before this series ends, we're going to look into the constellation mentioned in the unveiling, chapter 12. Does that portend something for Israel? It does. And let me, though, tell you again, I say this over and over again, I don't see any prophecies, I don't see any star alignments having to do with the body of Christ. And people are always asking me, Martin, when is the snatching away of the body of Christ? Is there a sign that we can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt our time is imminent? Well, the body of Christ is a secret administration inaugurated by Paul. Was not based on Israelite things. It was based, in fact, on a departure from Israelite things. And so, no, I don't believe there are any signs that will tell us when our snatching away to be taken to celestial realms. There's no signs that's going to tell us that's going to happen. And I still maintain to you that it's 5 minutes from now. And people, I've heard people say ridiculous things about this. Like, oh, Martin, people are always telling us it's near, but I say it's 30 years away. How the heck do you know? It's 30 years away. It's got to be over 30 years away. I think it's more than 100 years away. Where are you getting these figures? You're pulling them out of some place in your anatomy where the sun doesn't shine. It's ridiculous. Because the Apostle Paul, when he says, we the living, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe Paul expected to be snatched away in his day. Who knew more about the events that need to lead up to the snatching away than Paul? He admitted the man of lawlessness had to come first. He admitted, he probably knew that, you know, Babylon was going to be the world capital once again. And apparently, Paul thought that these things could happen in his lifetime. If they could happen in his lifetime 2,000 years ago, why the heck can't they happen in our lifetime? Paul knew that when these things start taking place toward the end of this eon, they're going to take place swiftly. They're going to take, once they start happening, it's going to be bang, 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 bang. Dominoes are going to fall one after the other, and here it comes. And so the smartest man on the planet, Paul, expected it in his lifetime. That's why I am more accurate to say it's 5 minutes away than people who say, I don't think it's not going to happen. It's going to be at least 100 years away. Where are you getting that? Now, we can see signs for Israel. God put the stars in the heaven for signs. Stars in the heaven for signs. That's what he did. And so Israel is going to know. They're going to be aware of the times and the seasons. And so I'm always saying that if Israel's close, we're closer. That's the only way you can get an indication of our time if you want to play that game of, it's not a game. If you want to go that route of looking to Israel, looking for signs in Israel, that's fine. It's not going to give you any indication of our time unless you want to say, yes, our snatching away must come before or at the same time the man of lawlessness is revealed to be the man of lawlessness when he steps into the false temple to announce that he is God, abolishes the worship system as they knew it, as he himself established, made a treaty, then broke it. That's the latest time, in my mind, we can be out of here. It's the middle of the last seven-year period. Many people tell me, Martin, we're going to be gone before the tribulation even starts. That's very possible. And it's very possible that it can be before the tribulation starts. That's why I'm telling you, Paul did not give a date or a time. He did not give a sign. He did not give stars to count, stars to look at, constellations to concentrate on, because this is to be a constant expectation for us. If Paul had given a date, then those people who lived in Paul's day would be like, oh, gee whiz. You remember that Little Rascals episode? Oh, gee whiz, I gotta go grease wheezer. Yeah, well, they'd be like, oh, gee whiz, the snatching away is 2,000 years in the future. God wouldn't do that to us. It's supposed to be a present expectation. I'll tell you this, it's 2,000 years closer now than it was for those people who expected it on Thursday, people on Paul's day. It's closer by 2,000 years. It's freaking crazily close. That's what I have to say to you. How did I get onto that? Maybe it was because I was looking at the exosphere right before this show, because I want to show you the size of the New Jerusalem. Going to calm you down a little bit, try to calm myself down, and go back to talk about Israel's expectation. It's so fun to talk about ours, though. I get tired about not talking about our expectation. And I feel compelled, again, to tell you this. I feel compelled to say, don't get upset by not being, like, super uber excited. Like, I just got excited for maybe 5 minutes there. But I'm not super uber excited all day about this prospect. I know it's real. I know it's coming. I know it's promised. And I know God's good for it. But I'm not. It's just so out there, isn't it? We have a walk of faith here, and we're grasping onto this thing by faith. Our entire message is one of faith in the Word of God. God mercifully gives us a word that is supernatural, and that is made to, we're made to know that it's supernatural by several means. Here I go on another subtopic, the structure of the Word of God, the complementary nature of Revelation to Genesis. Genesis begins things, and Revelation, point by point, answers things that Genesis leaves open. I talked about this earlier in the series, back in the bunker days. Maybe I should do that again. I'm not going to do it today. But there is an inspired structure in the Word of God that the writers weren't aware of. Look up structure in Scripture. Google it. And look up Dr. Bullinger in his companion Bible. He shows the amazing structure where points follow points, and then points are retraced from a different angle. It's amazing. And then there's numbers in the Scripture. Look up Number in Scripture by Dr. Bullinger. Get the book. Go to Amazon. Number in Scripture. It is amazing. It will prove to you the inspiration of the Word of God, that when you add up the numbers that are assigned to certain Greek letters and certain Hebrew letters in the Old Testament, you will find that there are multiples of numbers that are not there by chance or by some freaky accident. The number 666 is all over the Bible. When you take passages describing evil people or bad things, bad situations, and it's always a multiple of 666 when you add up all the basic elements of each Hebrew letter. There were 152 fish, I think. Was it 152 fish the disciples caught? No, it was 152 276. How many people on the ship with Paul? It doesn't matter that I can't think of the number now. But the fact that there is a specific number, I think it was 152 fish caught by the disciples when Jesus is raised from the dead, and he tells Peter to cast the net again. They've been fishing all night. But boom, cast the net, and here comes like 152 fish. You will find anything that talks about salvation or an ingathering, you will find a multiple of 152 if you analyze all the passages that talk about that topic of salvation. It's absolutely amazing. A multiple of 152. It's just, I can go on and on. The number 13 truly is a bad number. And you will find multiples of 13 when you look up lists of genealogies of evil people. It's always a factor of 13. It's unbelievable. Number 8. 888 is the number of Christ. It's the number of a new beginning, 8. And when you see multiples of 8 everywhere where it talks about Christ, and 666 truly is the number of man. You will find multiples of 666, as I just mentioned. I just mentioned that one. 3 is completion. 7 is perfection. 1 is the number of God. Yeah, that's it. 1 is the number of God. 3 is completion. 7 is perfection. And you will find 7 throughout the universe. There are 7 colors on the spectrum, right? Roy G. Biv. That was a little thing I learned to memorize the colors of the spectrum. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Thank you. 7. There are 7 notes in the scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. You say do. No, don't add do again. Remember, Julie Andrews says it will bring us back to do. You come back to do. So just repeating it, it's the next chord or whatever. I just sing in the shower. I don't understand the mechanics of this, but I know there are 7 notes. And the number 7 pulsates throughout the universe. There are 7 days in the week. Israel's calendar was divided into sevens. The seventh year was the sabbatical year. 7 sevens of years was the jubilee. And so I love numbers 6. I mean, even though I don't know anything about them, I sucked at math. I was an English guy. I was a literature guy. I was great at that kind of thing. I could write. But numbers, I didn't understand it. But when you read this book by Dr. Bollinger, look it up. Number in Scripture. Go to Amazon.com. Order this book. If you don't think the Bible is inspired, and this is a good time to talk about this, I guess. I wasn't planning on it, but there are certain things. There are rows of corn. When you count the rows of corn, it's divisible by a certain number. Bollinger brings all this stuff up. He gets it from somebody else. Like, he didn't invent it. And then you can read about structure too. So these are 2 ways I know the scriptures are inspired. God helps us. He helps us. He doesn't just say, read this book. And so many people have told me, it's just written by humans. I said, no, these humans were inspired by God. And people roll their eyes at me. Prove it, Zender. Well, how do you prove it? It's a thing of faith. But I can prove it. I can give you a book called Number in Scripture, and you can see that this book is infused with a plan, with a rationale, with evidence that the writers in no way could have known. And in no way could the writer of Genesis, Moses, have known that the book of Revelation, written thousands of years later, would answer points related to Genesis. I need to do that again because that is so amazing. I need to find that part of Bollinger's notes on structure. Anyway, the size of the New Jerusalem. I did not read the dimensions, and I'm going to do that now. To do that, I'm going to skip ahead to verse 15 of chapter 21. And he who was speaking with me had a measure and a golden reed that he should be measuring the city and its portals and its wall. Why? Because I told you on Friday that God is becoming big. And God had big in him all along, but he had to make the point that it's spirit that makes things happen, not size. And we've learned that point now that the lesson is learned. God's coming out of his shell. And its portals and its wall. And the city is lying 4 square, and its length is as much as its breadth. And he measures the city with the reed to 12,000 stadia. Its length and breadth and height are equal. And he measures its wall of 144 cubits of human measure, which is that of the messenger. These are human measures. That's why I know that this city is literal, and the measures are literal. The size is literal. This translates this 12,000 stadia to approximately somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500 miles. And I showed you the other day the size of the city using the model that I found on the internet. I'm looking at my time, folks. I apologize. I got into a little rant about the inspiration of scriptures to encourage you to know that this Word of God that we have been looking into is the only way for us to know the mind of God, to know the story of Christ. It's so crazy how people tell me about they don't need the word. They're too spiritual. And I'm an unspiritual person for studying and for studying words. And I'm just so calm in that way. And I need to fly in the spirit, man. And these people talk about Jesus. And I ask them how they know about Jesus. Well, they can't. They finally come back to the only reason they know about the life of Christ is from the scripture. All revelation of truth comes from the scripture. But Martin, we have truth in science, don't we? Yes, and all true science will agree with scripture. But I'm telling, and I get so mocked by even people who are not believers at all, who are worldly people, even atheists. And they all think that God would not be so stupid as to write down his program in a book. And I say, if God has not done that, then we're all adrift. And nobody can rely on anything except their own intuition or their own ideas, their own fantasies, their own stupidities about what's going on in the world. And believe me, when you start talking to atheists or even to Pentecostals about the same thing, you find out there's so many fanciful ideas about reincarnation, and they use such vaporous, stupid terms. You'll find this in the New Age movement. Becoming one and the fatherhood of God and melding with the universal oneness and becoming spirit-infused star beings, turning into stars. One woman told me, who purports to be a Christian, that we become stars. Isn't there a verse, Martin, that says we become stars? I said, no. How do you know, Martin? I've read the Bible many times. And then she starts to fumble. I said, have you read the Bible? No, but I have read this book by this PhD. And then she starts throwing these people at me with letters after their names. PhD, piled high and deep. That's what that stands for. It's an acronym for piled high and deep. Doesn't mean anything. Let God be true, though every human being a liar. So look, it may seem for the last few shows I've been all over the map. But I'm getting a little excited. I guess I'm getting near the end of this series. I have many things to cover. Thoughts are flying into my head. I'm going to try to become more disciplined. I'm sorry, you know, but this is what it is. And so we're going to look into the size of this. We're going to read about all the gems that are set forth. They're literal gems. This is a literal size because these measurements are used. 1,200 stadia. I wonder what that's a spiritual way of saying what? Saying what? What's God trying to say? He's not trying to say anything. This is the size of the city. Please. It's the size of the city. And the city is made of gems. And these gems are real. And I'm going to tell you how real they are. And I'm going to tell you why they are gems. You want me to tell you now? How much time do I have? They're gems because a gem is solid. It's crystalline. It's pure. It survives fire. It's not roiling anymore. It's not boiling anymore. It's not surging like the sea anymore. That's why the sea is replaced by gems. Let that be a little bit there to whet your appetite. And I'm going to give you much more. And together, we're going to see how crystalline God is, how solid he is, how sure he is. This New Jerusalem is just a reflection of how big and solid and crystalline and pure and hard and real God is.